You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number two. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. We are at the beautiful, spectacular, unbelievable, amazing $3 million grand prize show home courtesy of the Calgary Health Foundation, Foothills Hospital Home Lottery. Don't forget, buy your tickets tomorrow before midnight, Friday, April 12th, to win, to be eligible to win, a $1 million Canmore condo, 1,600 square feet, two bedroom, two baths, two balconies, fully furnished, professionally decorated, view towards Mount Lady McDonald and Policeman Creek. You also get...
How's the view?
Spectacular. You also get $25,000 in straight cash, homie.
Count it.
Bottom of the hour, too. Jeff Merrick.
You remember when radio stations used to just give away cold, hard cash? Well, not just normal cash. It was always cold, hard cash.
Oh, yeah. Does Star not give away cold, hard cash?
I don't think they give cash anymore.
Really?
I don't think they sell it as we've got cash because everyone's like, oh, gross, germs.
Like you win and then like Billy Joe just counts it in your hand?
Yeah. It's
she just
fives.
Like smacks it out.
She's there for like 45
bump,
minutes.
Bump. The Mina's on top. Bump, bump,
yeah,
bump,
yeah,
bump,
yeah.
Bump.
Like you're at the casino.
Peel them off.
Yeah, they got them all laid out in layers of five. 100, 2, 3, yeah, 4,
that'd be
5,
sweet.
6.
Hopefully they do that for
$25,000.
We also got Luke Bryan tickets to give away at 8:30. Still haven't figured out how or why.
Yeah, we said we'd figure it out in the break. I don't think we said a single word to each other.
No, we were watching Baywatch here.
You were watching episode. Baywatch. I was scrolling.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Scrolling
it was an
socials.
Old school one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to our next guest.
Yep. You should.
Sam Cosentino, Hockey Central draft analyst.
Speaking of someone I'd watch run on a beach.
Damn, slow motion
yeah.
Styles.
Oh, yeah.
On the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Sammy Cos, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, George. You sure you're not in your own house?
Watching Baywatch? Did you not watch Baywatch in the 90s?
No, the $3 million home I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. You know I work in radio, Sammy Cos. I'm barely making enough to survive, let alone living in a $3 million show home. You know how radio is, so, Sammy Cos.
Ticket buyers beware. We might have a squatter on our hands.
Yeah, no. No kidding. I'm a good middle at a dinner party, though, Sammy Cos. I'm a good middle. I can stoke a lot of conversation. I'm a good middle. That's key. It's key to a good dinner party, a good middle. Wanted to ask you about this Coyotes disaster. We're going to jump more into this with Jeff Merrick coming up at 7:30. Just want to get your thoughts on it's moving really quickly here, isn't it?
My thoughts on this are, please call me when it's done. Call me when the moving van arrives in Utah and let me know when it's done, because for the last 25 years, I've been hearing the same song and dance. I can't actually believe we're at a point where everyone thinks this is real. It sounds like it's real. It looks like it's real. But until the moving van pulls in to Utah, I'm not buying it.
Okay. I think that's totally fair. How have the Coyotes done as an organization nurturing young talent? Because seemingly they've been in a rebuild, much like the Sabres, the Senators, for years and years and years, Sammy Cos.
Well, I go back to the early stages of the franchise, and I think about guys like Viktor Tikhonov and Mikhail Bodker, who were playing at 18 years old, and I thought that for a relatively new franchise was a little bit interesting to me. I thought Brandon Gormley would be another one, and all three of those guys, you probably don't remember their names, but they haven't necessarily panned out. They all played at an age earlier than they should have, and I think Arizona was at that point quick to try and prove that the draft picks they made were worthwhile and wanted to show viability, and so they rushed those guys into the league. Sorry, about to get on the train, boys. And at that point, general manager changes, coaching changes, the Gretzky ownership changes, and from that point on, when it looked like they were an organization that was going to come into the league, be steady, play their young players, it's all sort of gone sideways. I will say this moving forward, though. I mean, Phil Armstrong and his draft picks and what he's armed with right now, a couple players sitting in Russia that I think are going to be really good for them, and a boatload of draft picks coming up. You know, if there is a new general manager, if there is a new owner and a new general manager, then whoever it is going to be armed with a lot of good stuff to work with. So in terms of what they've done and the current guys they have playing for them, I think they've made some good moves, but they've always been restricted by salary cap constraints, and not just from the league, but from their ownership group. So they're trying to put together, you know, cheap teams, patch it together with their free agents and that sort of thing. And I think as a result of that, it's tough to really get an assessment on what it's going to be like moving forward. I will say this, though, that the guys that aren't in the NHL currently and are sitting there in the prospect base and the draft picks, I like where they might be in 3 or 4 years from now. But we've said that about Ottawa, we've said that about Buffalo, and it's taken those teams a little longer than even they have expected.
Sammy, we've talked about Dylan Gunther before as a guy who was very good with the Edmonton Oil Kings. And yesterday he throws up 4 points against the team that could have had the opportunity to draft him. The pick that Arizona used to draft him was actually part of the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade. Maybe just a thought of what you've seen from Gunther this season and kind of capped by yesterday's performance in Vancouver.
Well, Rosie, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Gunther and Logan Cooley, because I think those guys are both future stars. And Gunther, you know, he got up right away and then was sent back, World Juniors, and then, you know, has to spend some time in the American Hockey League, which isn't easy for anybody, especially once you've had, you know, some sustained success at the NHL level. But good on him for sticking it out and being persistent, being patient, and still trying to work on the full 200-foot game. So big fan of Dylan's, always have been since, you know, he got into those, whatever, 5 or 6 games as a 15-year-old at the end of the year, whatever that was, 5 or 6 years ago. And I can say the same thing about Logan Cooley, like extremely confident young man. And he is just, he's a budding star in the league. Those two guys are really, really talented.
How would you redraft that Logan Cooley top five? Because that was the Slafkovský year, and he's also had a coming-of-age type of season.
Well, I mean, Montreal has shown a lot of patience with Uri, and, you know, they slimmed down the focus of the messaging this year to Marty St. Louis only. They played him on that top line all year long, allowed him to make mistakes with Nick Suzuki and Clint Caulfield. And as a result of, you know, being in that developmental phase where at the National Hockey League level he can make mistakes, he's now a much better player for it. You know, his first NHL hat trick the other night, and a guy who now is starting to use his size, use his smarts, move pucks, get into positions where he can get him back. He can shoot it well. He's playing with his heads up, which is something that was really challenging for him last year because he exposed himself a lot and took a couple of big hits. And I think now he's just starting to figure out that the pace of the game and the no-prisoner style of game that's played in the National Hockey League is suitable for him, but only when he's, you know, playing at a high pace and keeping his head up. So, you know, you look at that pick, it's probably the right one right now. Everyone's talking about Shane Wright and what's happening. The two, the defensemen that were taken after, you think about Logan Cooley. I mean, I don't know, guys. Like, Jason Buchla has always said to me that he would have taken Cooley first in that draft. Like, and that he's been unwavering from the second we spent time together watching the U.S. Under-18 program, and I think in November of that draft year. So I still think you need more time before you get into a redraft conversation. I like to give it 5 years. You know, the first 3 is the entry-level deal. Guys at the top of the draft are often forced into situations where they shouldn't be in, but because they were drafted that high, the team has to show the fans and the upper management that they made the right decisions, and they're not often put in good positions to succeed. I think given 5 years, you kind of go through that entry-level. Now you know that this is your career and your job. You mature both physically and mentally, and then you get an opportunity to kind of see what your role is and play to that identity, as opposed to trying to force your identity from junior or minor hockey into the National Hockey League.
I wanted to ask you about the Calder race as well. Do you see this locked up by Connor Bedard, or is Brock Faber making a late push here?
The thing is, when you look at Faber and playing 25 minutes a week, not to give consideration to. He's going to have a lot of a difficult time wrestling the public vote away from Bedard, and Bedard is definitely deserving of that honor, and wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. But the durability that Fabers has, the minutes he's played, the success and point production he's had at that position, at that age, those are really, really difficult things to do. And I hope that the voters really take note of that. But, you know, I look at durability and I look at minutes played. And when you're being relied on that heavily as such a young player and still producing, then it's going to be hard for me to look past. I mean, as you know, I love Connor Bedard, huge fan. He's got huge things coming in his future. You know, took another big bump there last night from Tyler Tucker, but I think he'll probably get it more so based on the popular vote. I hope everyone takes a closer look and really kind of appreciates what kind of year Fabers had.
Sam Cosentino, Hockey Central draft analyst, Hockey Central analyst, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. Maddie and I talked about, before you jumped on, the logjam that a lot of American Hockey League teams have, the Flames calling up guys like Hanzik, Lipinski, Morin. How do organizations fit all of these guys in? Is it good for the exposure for those guys? Like, how does a team like the Wranglers manage all these young prospects coming in when, at the same time, Sammy, they want to win a Calder Cup?
Yeah, and that's the challenging thing. I don't think you can lose sight of what the ultimate developmental goal is, and that's to get your players at their peak, to send them to the National Hockey League so you don't ever have to see them again. I mean, that's the ultimate goal for any franchise. You know, overcook your players, develop them to the point where, hey, we're not going to see them in the American League again. Having said that, though, George, like, part of that development is being in a winning culture. So I think both things are absolutely necessary and both things are possible and doable. You get players up there to give them a taste of what could be ahead, but you also say, okay, we've given you this taste, you made a couple extra bucks, now go down there and go win us a championship. So I think it's hugely important to do that. I think you really need to expose those younger players at an age where maybe they're not quite ready, or along the developmental path where they're not quite ready, just to give them a real taste of what the National Hockey League looks like, traveling on a plane, eating good meals, getting that big old paycheck, and also exposing themselves to veteran players, the Nazem Kadri's of the world, you know, the A.J. Greer's of the world, who's had to work really hard to get to where they are. You look at the Uyghurs and the Rasmus Andersons. The exposure to those players, their work habits and their work rate is really important for those players to see, too, because I've seen a lot of players come up from junior and they go, oh, yeah, I worked out all summer. I worked really hard. And they get to the National Hockey League and you're looking at Sidney Crosby doing 25-minute bites because he only played, you know, 18 minutes one night. And then you get a real sense of what it is to work out and be dedicated to your craft. So I think it's important that exposure happens, but I also think teaching winning, or exposing players to winning, or putting players in a situation where there is pressure to win, are all good things for the developmental curve as well.
Sammy, is Dustin Wolf still the Flames' number one prospect, in your opinion?
Oh, boy. I'd say so, George. But he just needs a good long run. He needs a good long run where he's the guy, where he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. You know, there are two ways to look at it. Having that pressure and looking over your shoulder is good for the development of the player, or giving him a run, allowing him to make mistakes, allowing him to experience the mental ups and downs of what it's like to be an NHL goaltender is also important. I tend to think the latter for the goalie position. Like, I think growing up at that position, there's already a ton of stress, and that stress accumulates over the time of the end of your minor hockey career to wherever your junior hockey career takes you, to your early stages of your AHL development. And I think at some point, you have to kind of back off of that stress level a little bit and allow the player to make his own mark. But giving him a run and putting him in a situation for him to be successful. So I think Wolf is getting there now. Having said that, you know, you look at where we are in the schedule and the meaningfulness of games to a team that's not going to be in the playoffs, there's also a little bit of caution judging players and evaluating players in that situation. So I think given, you know, here's what it's like, go and have a good off season, get ready. You're going to come back, and you're going to be the guy, because I think everyone expects Markstrom to, you know, be moved in the offseason. And I think that's the way to go about it with Dustin. But give him a good long run here, whatever, 5 or 6 games left, and allow him to really make his mark and feel comfortable.
Who's the best goalie that's not a regular in the NHL right now? And is Dustin Wolf get into that kind of top 5, top 10 list?
I think he's in the top 5 list. Spencer Knight is a guy that's of great interest to me. He's been called up or not, but he's a guy that I know that people have looked at and said, oh yeah, he's back to the form he had before he had his issues. So he'd be a guy. Wolf would be a guy. I'll be honest with you, I think Martin Jones is a guy. You know, he is in the NHL. He's not playing any games, but in terms of like looking ahead and what he could be to a team in terms of a backup, I mean, I think everyone understands what the importance of a backup is in the National Hockey League right now. So he'd be a guy I would consider on that list, although technically he's on an NHL roster.
Where does Wallstedt in Minnesota land?
Oh, yeah, he's. I think he's been destined for stardom going back to his days, playing in Sweden for the national team. He's probably right there, too. You know what I always say, though, guys? Your goalies, they're really tough to judge until they get to be 25 years old. If you go back and look at when goalies start to pop, you know, I think about Jordan Binnington when he had that run to the cup, I think he was 25 years old at the start of that season. That seems to be the time where things really start to move. I think Connor Hellebuck, same sort of thing, although maybe a little bit earlier on the scene for him. I think it's tough to pass judgment on guys at that position until they get to be 25 years old, and then you can start to make some decisions.
Islanders, Capitals, Penguins, and Red Wings. You got to pick two. Who's getting in?
Come on.
You knew it was coming.
I have this weird feeling that Sid is somehow going to will the Pittsburgh Penguins in.
Right.
I think Detroit is the best team. So I'm going to go with those two.
Okay.
I will say this. If Washington gets in, Carberry should be coach of the year. He should win the Jack Adams if he gets
over Rick Tocchet?
Yes.
Over Rick 100%. Tocchet?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason I say that is Ovechkin had, what, 7 goals in the first half of the year? Mm-hmm. Backstrom, gone for the year. Charlie Lindgren is your starter. Carlson, Kuznetsov
gone.
Kuznetsov gone. Think about that, guys. You think about all of those things, and this guy is going to kind of get this team. If he gets him in the playoffs, he may not win coach of the year. He should be one of the 3 finalists.
It's crazy how the Vezina and the Jack Adams, those usually go pretty close hand in hand, hey?
Yeah, it seems to work. And I don't know, like, Tortorella's name about a month ago. We're hearing him as coach of the year. I don't know if people are saying that anymore.
Yeah, that feels like if you put any money on that, that's that one you can throw out the window.
Listen, I was on the torch train if they got into the playoffs because nobody thought they were going to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, but then now they're losing by 4 or 5 goals to lottery teams left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Now it's not. I don't think much is going to change between here and the end of the year, but I do believe if Washington gets in, Carver should be, he should be a finalist. And we're talking.
I got one.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's another one for sure. We were talking yesterday about the lottery because we've started to spin the old Tankathon draft simulator here in Calgary. Which team needs Macklin Celebrini more, the San Jose Sharks or the Calgary Flames?
Okay, well, the listeners are going to want me to say Calgary Flames. I'm going to go with that. No, the San Jose Sharks.
Okay.
I think it's 7 years until they're relevant again. Think about it for a second. Like, if you look at their roster right now, think about what they have coming, think about their graphic. It's not like they're loaded in any one particular developmental area. So they need Celebrini more than anybody, for sure. And, you know, there's the connection to Golden State with his dad and kind of be a storybook ending to his university.
Hometown, career.
They need him. Like, they really need him. And even with him, I still think it's 7 years before they're relevant.
Only 25% chance. Sammy, is getting the number two pick in this draft a blessing and a curse all at the same time?
It is, because like the next best player is probably Ivan Demidov. He's Russian-born player, so that obviously comes with some risks. So if you're just strictly looking at the draft, who's taking the next best player available, he's probably the guy. Now, that blessing and curse that we talked about is, you know, you're a team that's afraid to go down that road for geopolitical reasons, for reasons that the player might not come over. And somehow both of those things sort of, on the geopolitical thing, and unfortunately I don't see a near ending to that. But if that player is able to come over and he turns out to be a star, and I really do believe he can be that guy, and you passed on him, there's your blessing and curse scenario all in one. But there's still... The thing is, guys, there's a ton of defensemen available, and while they might take a little bit longer to develop, we're probably going to see seven defensemen go in the first 10 picks.
What's Demidov's comp, though, Sammy?
Yeah, really interesting guy. So in terms of the high-end elite skill, skating ability, passing ability, creativity, puck touch, awesome, elite level. Where I think he separates himself a little bit from the rest of the group is he works hard in a lot of the tough areas. So he has no trouble playing a 200-foot game in terms of his backtrack, being a responsible neutral zone transition guy, but also he has no problem going into corners and fighting off bigger opponents by using his skill and his feet to escape trouble. So, you know, who would that be in the NHL right now? I don't know. Like, that's a tough one for me to think off the top of my head. I haven't really thought of a comp for Demidov, but I do believe he has an entire skill set that'll make him a successful NHL.
Sammy Cosentino, Hockey Central draft analyst, Hockey Central analyst. Safe trip on the train, okay, pal? Thanks for this.
Yeah, George. And when they tell you to get out, get out.
You okay? All right. There he goes on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar.
That
that's it. I will. There he is, Sam Cosentino on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar.
Get
this handsome Serbian out of here.
You got to tell Sammy to mind the gap.
Yeah. It's not that big of a gap.
No, I know. It's not
loud. I hope the listeners felt like he was just like hanging out with them on the train.
Yeah.
Like there were certain parts in there where the background was like, you felt like you were in there. Like you were in the throes. Like,
I love trains.
Like you must have felt like you were just heading in home. Heading back home downtown Toronto.
Yeah, on the go train and falling asleep, and then the ticket person wakes you up. You're like, good God, what? What do you want? Here's my ticket.
Yeah.
I'm not a stowaway.
Don't take my wallet.
Yeah. All right. Jeff Merrick on this Coyote situation next. Could there possibly be some realignment here? Because that's what potentially could really affect the Flames and the Oilers. That's something I want to ask Jeff Merrick about. We're at the $3 million show home, the spectacular $3 million show home located in Harmony and Rocky View for the Calgary Health Foundation Foothills Hospital Home Lottery. Don't forget, midnight tomorrow is your chance to win the $1 million Canmore Condo Early Bird Prize. Jeff Merrick next, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. Oh, hi there. It's The Big Show, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. We are at the beautiful $3 million show home for the Calgary Health Foundation Foothills Hospital Home Lottery. Don't forget, buy your tickets before midnight tomorrow, Friday, April 12th, to be in to win the $1 million Canmore Condo Early Bird Prize, 1,600 square feet, two bedroom, two baths, two balconies. You also win $25,000 in cash. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Speaking of homes, it's a terrible transition.
That was really good. No crisp.
The Coyotes might be getting a new one. Jeff Merrick.
So ruthless.
Jeff Merrick, the host of the Jeff Merrick Show and the 32 Thoughts podcast on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I like that smooth transition, though. Speaking of new homes, have you looked at real estate in Salt Lake City yet? Yeah, good job.
Jeff, I'm actually surprised how quickly this is moving. It went from like Ryan Smith, which is always confusing when you hear the name Ryan Smith, or whatever. I digress.
Yeah.
It's like, so if we were to name the team, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, what would it be? And then this report explodes last night.
Well, listen, I mean, there have been a couple of moments where we've kind of said, and good morning, guys. There have been a couple of moments where we've said, this is interesting. Like we saw the open letter to the NHL asking them to initiate the expansion process, which came from Ryan Smith. Now, first thing that your listeners all need to understand, anything coming from Salt Lake City and Ryan Smith, that is all done with the blessing of the NHL. You know, Elliot and I on the 32 Thoughts podcast had Ryan Smith last year. I am firmly of the belief that if the NHL had not wanted Ryan Smith to come on and talk about his interest in hockey in Utah, he would not have. And I would assume he would have given either Bill Daly or NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman the courtesy call, saying, like, this is what I would like to do. I'd like to go on this podcast and talk a little bit about my plan and Salt Lake City and Utah, et cetera, et cetera. The NHL could have shut that down. Like everything that I see along the lines of Salt Lake City, everything has been strategic, certainly, leading Ryan Smith to try to get an NHL franchise. Like he put it then, either relocation or expansion, it didn't matter to him. I think it was very interesting. And I keep going back to that initial letter, guys, and I go there for a reason. I'll get to that in a second. Ryan Smith, in that open letter, did not at any point mention relocation. It was all about expansion process, expansion process, expansion process. And one of the sensitivities in all of this, as the NHL plays broker between Alex Morello, the owner of the Arizona Coyotes, and Ryan Smith, the hopeful owner of the Salt Lake City, insert name here, they played broker the whole time. And they've always gone out of their way to make sure that they don't put themselves in a legal position, or they don't put themselves in a position where Alex Morello could turn around and say, I was a member of the NHL and the National Hockey League worked against me with another operator to try to take my team from Arizona to that person's state. The sensitivity around everything, whether it's language, whether it's description, whether it's what information gets out, what information doesn't get out, has been a landmine here. Because the one thing, and again, this is not done yet. There's still a lot of hurdles here. The one thing the NHL does not want to do is step on a potential bomb here that could lead everybody into court. That's part of the sensitivity here. And we know that Alex Morello is a very proud owner. You know, Craig Morgan, who's covered the Arizona Coyotes seemingly forever, was on my radio show last week, and he said it's almost, you know, this situation with Arizona and trying to get the land and build a new rink and entertainment district, it's almost personal and or ego-driven by Alex Morello. At every step of the way, he's wanted to prove that he's right and everybody else is wrong. This is what the NHL is working with right now.
How many – is this giving you a lot of Thrashers to Winnipeg vibes with how this has been handled?
This one's a little bit different. I mean, the Thrashers, I mean, the ownership group seemed pretty much from day one to be more interested in basketball than they were in hockey. And that was a completely, like, I remember, there was, I think it was seven different owners at the time in Atlanta, and they were all at each other's throats. Like, it was awful. It was one of the most dysfunctional ownership situations we've ever seen in the NHL. And eventually just had to throw the keys on the table when it became obvious that none of them either A, wanted the Atlanta Thrashers, or B, had the ability to keep the Atlanta Thrashers. This one, I mean, Alex Morello still wants hockey in Arizona. Like, he wants to win this auction for the parcel of land. He'd love to build his entertainment district and new arena. That is what he wants. Problem is, for the NHL, there's too many question marks along the way, and would probably take too long to get there, as now everyone's sort of, you know, waking up to the fact that, you know, the Mullet Arena is not a good long-term situation, as they would have to wait for a new arena, and there would be a ton of legal hurdles to get there. That is something the NHL is not interested in. So how do they get from, we don't want Mullet Arena right now, but we still want hockey in Arizona, and we don't want to upset Alex Morello, and we want a team in Salt Lake City? It sounds as if the brokered compromise here is, Alex Morello gets more than made whole here and probably ends up with right of first refusal when they announce the expansion process to bring a team back to Arizona, which we all expect they will eventually.
Jeff, does the NHL want to give him back? Because, like, one of the things that has really kind of been a problem with this is the way that the players have been informed about this entire process. What's going to happen to the players here?
That's a really good question. You know, there's a lot of players that were sort of left in the dark. I mean, this happens in all situations. I mean, these ownership discussions happen a million miles above the players and arena staff and support staff and everybody that works at organizations. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday who was in and around the Arizona Coyotes organization at the game against the San Jose Sharks, and the topic around, you know, whether it's the coffee table, the dinner table, at the rink, the snack room, like everyone's talking about, okay, so we're going, are you coming? What should we do? Well, my roots are deep in Arizona here. I'm not sure I'm able to leave. Are we going to be able to keep our position? One of the things that I wonder about here, and I've got to circle back to find out how it worked then, but if you had Arizona on your no-trade list, does that carry to Salt Lake City? Or is that all wiped out? So that affects everybody else in the NHL as well. Like, that's not just an Arizona issue. I'm circling around on that one this morning, trying to figure that one out. But, I mean, you know, contracts will not get voided. Like, I know that's been one of the questions. Like, well, you signed with the Arizona Coyotes. That means your contract's voided if you go to Salt Lake City. That's not true. The contracts carry. But from a player's point of view, like anybody else, I mean, this is very late in the season. And all of a sudden now you're thinking, okay, I've got to uproot my family and get to Salt Lake City if this is the way that this thing is going. And what is that going to mean for where I'm going to live, where my kids are going to school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How many players ask for trades because of it? All of these uncertainties. Like, the uncertainties exist at every single level here. And again, like, I really want to stress something here. This one is really sensitive and really delicate and can really go off the rails with, like, one bad line or one bad tweet or anything that would, you know, upset Alex Morello here, because essentially what they're doing is forcing a sale, some would say. And I know that as much as the Board of Governors want an end to the situation with the Arizona Coyotes as it stands right now, I know some of them would probably be upset with the fact that it's being done, how that it's being done. And even though they want, you know, the effect of moving Arizona out of the NHL just temporarily, I think a lot of Board of Governors members would look at this and say, okay, if this is how they did it with Arizona, does this set up a precedent to maybe do this with me somewhere down the road?
Jeff, is there a chance that the Flames and Oilers move to the Central? Because Utah's smack dab in the middle of Colorado and Nevada. Kind of makes sense to have all three of those teams in the same division. California next door, like, is there a chance that we could see the Flames and the Oilers? Obviously, it's too early to do that next season, but is this potentially on the horizon?
I think it's a really good question. I think, you know, and all of this, by the way, we should point out for your listeners, all of this is happening while this latest CBA is expiring. We've got a couple of years left here, and then all of a sudden it's more CBA talk, and we all, you know, become, you know, amateur actuaries and pretend we know things like, you know, how sophisticated pensions work. So all of this is happening while the CBA is expiring in a couple of years. There's now an international calendar as well. For whether it's, you know, the World Cup or the frozen face-off, whatever they're calling it, and then the Olympics. So there's a lot of things that the NHL has up in the air. Plus, there is the Atlanta situation, and they very much want a team. There's a couple of very powerful groups, one led by Anson Carter, the Alpharetta group. And also, you know, Tillman Fertitta has talked about, you know, I'm working on getting a team to Houston right now. So I think we're going to go through some, interesting times here. Like, this is going to be a fascinating league to cover and follow and be a fan of in the next couple of years. Could be frustrating, but I think that one of the things, George, and I think you hit on it correctly, one of the things that we are going to wonder about through all of this, like, let's say Atlanta does get their expansion team. Let's say that Tillman Fertitta is successful and the team ends up in Houston. What do the divisions look like? I know the NHL traditionally doesn't like to do it sort of one at a time and then continue to shift and change. They like to do it all at the same time, which to me says, You know, get ready for some unbalanced division. Again, that's just me speculating. I don't know that as a fact. I'm just looking at past history of the NHL and saying, okay, if that's the way they did it then, we would imagine that's the way they'll probably do it now.
Jeff, we were just talking to Sam Cosentino, doing a little bit of draft stuff. I was hoping to throw a little draft question at you here.
Sure.
With the Flames coming up, I'm probably going to pick in that 9 to 10 slot. Hypothetically, if they're getting set to make their pick, and Cole Iserman and Tiija Ginla and Caden Lindstrom are all available, who should they select?
I mean, the temptation for Tiija Ginla, I would default to Tiija Ginla because it satisfies two things. One, he's an excellent player, first of all. Like, once you establish that and that's a slot where he would fit, you obviously have, you know, the showbiz side of it too. Like, another Ginla in Calgary, it completely makes sense. That's where, like, it's very rare in hockey where hockey ops and marketing have a hand-to-glove relationship, but that one would seem to be so obvious and brilliant. I mean, I can recall, you know, when the Winnipeg Jets had their first draft, everybody was screaming for them to draft Sean Couturier. And instead, they selected Mark Scheifele. And everyone in Winnipeg was Couturier. And then everyone was upset they didn't get him. Now, it turns out they got an elite player in Mark Scheifele, and that's been fantastic for them. But if you pass, like, I just think to myself, okay, if I'm Craig Conroy at that spot, how much pressure is there on me to draft Ginla if he's available at that spot? And what happens to me if I'm the general manager who turned down an Ginla when he fit in that slot?
Yeah, he's had a stress-free year. I'm sure he'll handle that fine.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, I don't know that he ends up winning General Manager of the Year. Like, I personally think, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff or Barry Trotz. But as far as a rookie campaign goes as a general manager, Craig Conroy's done really well. Sharon Govich just got 30 goals, right? Mm-hmm. And what happened when we saw the Tyler Toffoli trade? Like, oh, okay, this is a question mark here. That's been a home run. I look at a lot of the situations that Craig Conroy has been backed into. Like, I'm really impressed. I think a lot of us are as well at how Craig Conroy's behaved in the face of a really, really difficult situation. I mean, it's not as if he walked into a team that's like automatically playoff bound and established players and blah, 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 blah. Like, this has been a scrap. A lot of expiring contracts. Count me as one who's really impressed with Conroy so far.
Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show, the 32 Thoughts podcast. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thanks for making time for us today.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good rest of your day.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. To me, when I look at the map of the good old U.S. of A., it makes a lot of sense for me to potentially move the Flames and the Oilers.
It doesn't to me. It really doesn't. I guess if you look at the map and you really want all of these teams that have never had rivalries to have rivalries, you can try and force it. But the Flames and Canucks have a rivalry. You should not split them up. And they're Canadian franchises that every year the fans are going to be engaged in. You don't know if it's going to follow in Salt Lake City. You don't know if it's going to maintain in Vegas if that team ever becomes bad. You don't know any of these things. So, I don't know. I think it would be ridiculous to move the Flames away from the Pacific.
I made an 8-division NHL.
Okay. All right, let's hear it quickly here. What's your 8-division?
Well, we'll start in the West. You have the Northwest Division of Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg. Battles.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Detroit, you got to come back over West, but we're going to pair you with your former Norris Division rivals in Chicago and St. Louis. Throw the Wild in there as well. The Southwest Division, this is a gauntlet. Colorado, Dallas, Vegas, Utah. Pacific Division, Anaheim, LA, San Jose, Seattle. That might be a pretty bad division to start.
Easy.
Northeast Division, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto.
Okay.
The Metropolitan Division, Boston, Jersey, Islanders, Rangers.
Okay.
A Mid-Atlantic Division, Blue Jackets, Flyers, Penguins, Capitals. And
Mid-Atlantic, I like that.
And the Southeast, Carolina, Florida, Nashville, Tampa.
I don't know, Patrick. That sounds you're making just way too much sense.
Go ahead and fire that off to old Betts. And
you're making way too much sense.
CC Commissioner at NHL.com.
I'm sure
that's his email.
We know how the NHL thinks and does, but that makes way too much sense. And as to your point about like the rivalry between the Flames and the Canucks, I don't think the NHL gives a rat's ass about that. To be honest with you, they'd be like, "Hey, new team. Here's your rivals now. Let's do it. Hey, you're giving us 300 schmil." Like that's how the NHL thinks.
It would be a massive misstep if that's how they think.
I agree with you, but also you can build up a rivalry with Winnipeg, I guess.
No, you can't. You can't. There has not been a rivalry there.
Well, they got to play
it's
in the
exact
playoffs.
Same thing that I'm trying to tell you. You can't just manufacture these out of nowhere.
Well, they try. They try with all these other divisions.
It doesn't ever work.
Well, you got to play in the playoffs.
You play
to build
a
up
team
a
enough.
That's what it is.
You'll battle find that rivalry.
Yeah, and some rivalries live forever, some die, like.
Like I said, dude, like, no one is cheering for the Canucks in Calgary this year if you're a Flames fan.
Of
People
course.
Will be cheering for the Jets, and when was the last time the Flames played the Canucks in the playoffs? It was like a decade ago. When was the last time they played the Jets? They've played them twice since. There's no rivalry there. The fans don't care about Winnipeg.
Well, I don't think it's the only people in Calgary who don't care about Winnipeg. No offense, Patrick.
You didn't have to do that,
well,
but.
That's true. All right. We're at the $3 million show home for the hospital home lottery. It's beautiful. It's spectacular. We're in Harmony in Rocky View County. The early bird special for the beautiful $1 million Canmore condo early bird prize is tomorrow at midnight, 1,600 square feet, two bedroom, two bathroom, two balconies, built by Spring Creek, fully furnished, professionally decorated, $25,000 in cash. Get that tomorrow. Calgary Health Foundation, Foothills Hospital Home Lottery. Our man, the president and CEO of Calgary Health Foundation, Murray Sigler, is here again. Murray, nice to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to hear talk of the Flames, too.
Okay, Murray, now I have to ask you. Do you think the Flames and Jets could build up a rivalry over time?
Listen, like, I'd be happy to see the Flames be in the finals.
Okay, so, well, I think
we all would, right?
Yeah.
And whoever they beat along the way, I'll be happy that they beat them.
Okay,
like,
that's true.
Like, I don't care who they beat, but I'm particularly happy, of course, if they beat the Oilers.
Right.
And the Canucks.
How are you watching the playoffs this year? Is it anybody but Edmonton and Vancouver?
Well, I'm pretty much hoping that we could get a Canadian team in the final.
What if it's Edmonton, Murray?
Well, then they have to lose.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Obviously.
My guy.
We want them there so they can lose.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Ultimate heartbreak. I love it.
Okay. I think that's interesting because I think our listeners would be like, get the Oilers out as quickly as possible in the shortest amount of time.
Well, I'd be okay with that, too. And
okay.
Even if Winnipeg advanced, I'd be okay.
Okay.
As long as they lose at some point.
Yeah. Vancouver and Edmonton, as long as neither of those teams are hoisting the Stanley Cup. We talked to you about a month ago. To refresh, what does this hospital home lottery mean to the people of Alberta and potentially the care they can receive?
Well, I really want to thank everybody who supports our lotteries because it makes a huge difference to the quality of care that can be delivered, in this case at the Foothills Hospital in Calgary. It's an amazing site with all kind of specialty treatments available, and because of the funding and support that's received through our lotteries, we can deliver better outcomes for everyone that receives treatments there.
A lot of it is finding new technologies and new ways to kind of tackle different things that have been around for a long time and been a plight for a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're working on right now trying to advance medical technology?
Well, there's a lot of advances in surgery areas to have less invasive methodologies to using technology to help get that in terms of diagnosis and treatment and aftercare so that people can get attention and be dealt with in a more efficient manner, less obtrusive, less invasive, have a better quality of life afterwards. And all that adds up to a huge impact for the patients that receive it.
Well, that helps kind of everybody around the province, too, because, A, you've got your patients are going to be in and out a lot quicker, which is good for the medical system. Plus, like you mentioned, it's just return to normalcy a little bit better for all the patients.
Absolutely. It makes just a huge difference in quality of life for people to get the treatments.
Mm-hmm. Well, Murray, also, how important is that to keep Albertans in Alberta to get the state-of-the-art treatment?
Well, we're so lucky to have a facility like a campus like Foothills here in Calgary. It's got so many amazing areas of specialty services, and we've got that right here. We're so lucky that we can access it right at home.
The early bird special tomorrow midnight to win the $1 million Canmore condo. Looks really nice, Murray. 1,600 square feet, two bedroom, two bath, two balconies. You can have a lot of parties at that place.
Oh, man.
People should definitely be getting their tickets to that. We're at the beautiful $3 million show home. Our Sam Cosentino said I potentially could be squatting here. That's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
But
there's lots of room. Like, you could certainly find a spot around here. That wouldn't be a problem.
And the 50-50 as well is absurd.
Oh, yeah, the 50. Like, the tickets are over 90% sold to start with, which is really great with this deadline on tomorrow night. But the 50-50 is it's over $2.7 million.
Yeah, just $2.7 million, Murray. Just
$2.7
million.
Okay. It's fine.
It's a little more than at a Flames game. Murray Sigler, the president and CEO of the Calgary Health Foundation. Always a pleasure, Murray. Thanks for this.
Well, thank you so much, and thank everybody who's listening for their support.
Great stuff from Murray Sigler. Straight ahead on the program, we got to figure out what we're doing the Luke Bryan tickets, and also Dennis Bernstein, senior writer of the Fourth Period, SiriusXM NHL radio host. It's the Big Show. We're from the $3 million show home, beautiful, spectacular, unreal, in Harmony, in Rocky View, in support of the Calgary Health Foundation Foothills Hospital Home Lottery. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan.